Thank you. Come, let us worship the Lord. If I said to you something that you already know, but it's only 10 days till Christmas, some wooing, some clapping, some, oh my goodness, yeah, I don't have long to go. Maybe the conversations that you are having with people are about, have you done all your shopping? Have you been asked that question recently? Yes, I've been asked that this morning. Have you done all your shopping? Lots of nods, some no's. Are you all prepared for Christmas this year? Some yeses, some no's, and some like, I don't know. Are we prepared? We're not really sure. Well, we have been working our way through the Christmas narrative, and we've been looking at different parts. And it is a narrative, a story that you have probably heard many times before. But there is something about it where you can still experience the wonder of God. And that's our prayer, that you will experience the wonder of God, a creative God who will show you something new again this Christmas season. So we're going to have a look at the passage that was read to us, Matthew chapter 2, if you want to follow in your Bibles. And just like you all reacted in different ways to me when I mentioned 10 days till Christmas and whether you were ready, there were lots of different reactions. We're going to have a look at the different characters in this reading and the reactions of them to Jesus. And then we're actually going to look at ourselves and say, what's my reaction to Jesus today? So that's where we're going to head. So we're going to start off with Herod, and either from what we read this morning or from what you know, Herod's reaction was one of anger and rejection. That's how he responded to Jesus. So it may come up on the screen, some anger and rejection. Did you know that Herod was called Herod the Great? So I kind of figured that if you have the words the Great after your name, there must be something great about you, or you have done something great. Maybe you're all thinking, yes, that could be me. I could be Stephanie the Great, or I could be Great Scott, or I could be Shinsuke the Great. Oh, look, now he even sat up. You just add the word the Great, and the way he sat up then actually matched that name. So Herod is called Herod the Great. He actually reigned as the king in Palestine for nearly 40 years. And he was actually the only ruler to ever keep peace and stability in that region. He was a brilliant architect. He was a builder. He was a man of great vision. He was also generous at times. Now, I didn't know this about him, but he was generous. And in difficult times, he had actually stopped taxing people, which is a bit of a surprise. He would stop taxing them just to give them a chance to survive. And when there was a great famine in the land, he melted down, is that right? He melted down his gold so that people could buy corn and he could buy food for the people. So if we left our information about Herod there, he is Herod the Great. He's pretty great. But there's another side to Herod. And there was a very deep flaw in his character that he was very, very suspicious of other people. He also had some paranoia, and he couldn't tolerate anyone who may have rivaled his power. So he actually killed one of his wives, a mother-in-law, three sons. And what I read in the commentaries about Herod was that it was probably better to be one of his animals than to be one of his family. Because if you provided some threat to him, you were gone. So anyone who got close to claiming any power over Herod, or from Herod, sorry, he dealt with them. So Herod the Great did some great things, but had a deep flaw in his character. So when these three wise men arrive and they go to King Herod to ask about the king of the Jews that was born, well, that kind of set Herod off on a little bit of a, oh my goodness, what's going on here? He was the king of the Jews. He was Herod the Great. If there's another king of the Jews here, then there's trouble. So Herod actually got angry, although he controlled it in that moment. When the wise men came, he went and they asked him the question. He actually said to them, well, as soon as you find him, you know, go and search for him, and as soon as you find him, come back and tell me, because I want to go and worship him too. Because the wise men had come and said, where is this king who was born of the Jews? We've come to see him and worship him. So King Herod the Great pretended that he wanted to worship the king of the Jews, Jesus. However, if you were to look a little bit further down in chapter 2 in verse 16, you know, he told the wise men to come back and tell him where the baby was born, where this king of the Jews was born. But in verse 16, when King Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, the wise men, he was furious because they didn't come back to tell him where this king of the Jews was. And this is where his paranoia set in and his evil character. He then ordered that all the boys in Bethlehem under the age of 2 were to be killed. There was a threat to his kingship. So Herod, he pretended that he was going to be a worshipper, but deep inside, in his heart, he was angry and he rejected Jesus. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody, and when you mention something of God, something of Jesus, there's a wall that goes up? And they don't want to hear anything about Jesus. And they may get angry, and they may reject Jesus. And maybe it might look like they're taking it out on you. But perhaps they've had an experience in a church, or maybe just life, and like Scott talked about, you know, we question the things that happen in the world. People question, if there is a God, then how could he allow this to happen? So sometimes when we have conversations with people, they get angry at the name of Jesus because maybe they've lost somebody that they loved, and they prayed that God would heal that person, and that didn't happen. So maybe they're angry at God. Maybe that person is you. Maybe something at some point in your life where you were hurt, or you feel God hasn't actually come through for you. So there is a rejection or a wall up there in you. And maybe you say you want to worship Jesus and you do your best to worship Jesus, but something in here is really hindering you experiencing all that God has to give you through Jesus. Sometimes we reject Jesus because we actually don't want him to be the ruler of our life. Perhaps we're going along quite nicely, ruling our own life. And it's okay that God is a part of it, that Jesus is a part of it, but we're not willing to submit all authority to him. We're not willing to submit our life entirely to him. So the first reaction is one of anger and rejection. Then we see the next group of people. So the wise men have come in and spoken to Herod, and Herod's answered in the best way he could at that moment. Then he runs off to the chief priests and religious leaders and says, okay, is there a baby that was going to be born here? This king of the Jews, these guys came and asked me. And in their response, we actually see apathy, and we also see a non-committal from them. When Herod goes to ask these religious leaders, they actually say to him, oh yes, yeah, we know that it's been prophesied that there's going to be a baby born in Bethlehem. Yeah. And this is the verse that we can actually quote to you. And they quote this verse of verse 6 that comes up and says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The religious leaders knew that there was a king to be born. They knew this king was to be a Messiah. They knew he was going to come. So maybe in verse 7, you may have expected to read, then they too went to find the baby and worship him. But we don't read that. They actually just got back on with life. It didn't even penetrate them. These people who had been waiting for the King of the Jews, for who God had said was going to come, it didn't make a difference to their life. How sad. How sad that they knew the answer, but there was no response from them in their heart. How sad if that is the condition of our hearts too. We may know all the answers. We may have grown up in a Christian family. We may have had the privilege of going through all of the programs that a church could offer to teach us and help us to learn as we were growing up. And as we've reached adulthood, perhaps some apathy has set in. Perhaps our response is, oh yeah, it's Christmas. That's about Jesus. And I love to sing carols. But anything else that Jesus asks of me, I'm not going to commit to. The final group of people are obviously the wise men. The wise men, it's believed, came from Persia, and that they were a tribe of priests. They were skilled in philosophy and science. I didn't know this bit. They were known as men of holiness and wisdom. They were the interpreter of dreams. They studied the stars. And when they saw this particular star that Lyndon showed for us, when they saw that star, they knew that God was intervening in the world in a magnificent way because they had studied the stars. They made a journey that took them quite some time, because it is believed that when they actually arrived at the house where Jesus was, that he was around the age of 2. So this particular journey, the star would have appeared in the sky when Jesus was born, and it took them that time to actually arrive at the place to worship Jesus. But the exciting thing about the wise men is the first thing that they said to Herod was, "We have come to worship him. We have seen this star. We know this is an act of God. We know this is a magnificent thing, and we have come to worship him." And then we read down a few more verses, and they actually come, they find the house, they see the child, they bowed down and worshipped him. They were overjoyed, it says in verse 10, when they saw where the star stopped. They were overjoyed because they knew that they had arrived at the place where Jesus was, where they were able to worship. The wise men started on a journey that was probably a bit inconvenient, riding a camel. I've never ridden a camel before, but I kind of imagine it's not quite as comfortable as some other modes of transport. It was inconvenient for them. They were wealthy. Yes, they did bring costly gifts, but it also could have cost them their life, especially when they land in the palace of King Herod, because I'm pretty sure that word would have got around as to the type of character that he was. But it was worth the trip for them. They came and they worshipped. They encountered Jesus. And yes, they did go home a different way because they were warned that going back to Herod is not the best idea. But I also looked at that part and I thought, you know, when we encounter Jesus, we're not the same. The Alpha video this morning, that man was not the same when he encountered Jesus. So today my question is, what's your reaction? What's your response to Jesus? Are you rejecting him? Are you a bit apathetic? Or are you overjoyed at having another opportunity every day to worship? That's what Christmas is about. It's all about worship. If you go back and read over the narrative of Christmas, the angels worshipped. The shepherds worshipped. The wise men worshipped. And Mary, when she pondered these things in her heart, I believe she worshipped as well.